This is Stephanie, bringing you the July broadsheet from Elevate to bring you colour and inspiration wherever you are. And on the front page this month, Hannah Lefevre writes from her off-grid small holding. And Hannah writes, "It is officially British summer, and although the weather conditions on many days throughout June felt otherwise, we can celebrate the long days that bestow this time of year. Much of the annual produce has caught up, and the vegetable patches are once again in full bloom. Fresh strawberries are producing plenty of fruit, and the ornamental flowers, though late, are arriving. I have begun to dry flowers and herbs for winter stores. Lavender, marigold, rose, yarrow, bay and feverfew adorn the ceilings. Meanwhile, whilst many of the soft fruits are slow after the cold spring and several fruit trees have suffered, the wilder areas of the site are thriving. Our wildflower meadow is into its third month of yielding bountiful colour and spectacle. Foxgloves have lined the full lengths of the field, and a second wave of orchids are densely packed amongst young saplings. Yellow rattle, a key grass-suppressing component of wildflower meadows, has taken and is spreading. The meadow project, previously an abandoned slope full of bracken, bramble and nettle, began with copious amounts of scything and the installation of a rope swing at the top of the slope over 2 years ago. Somehow, the swing changed our relationship with the field as it became a place of leisure, not only work. The top of the slope now has several swings, a rope ladder, a willow-fenced den, and steps up to a viewing point across the valley. Curvaceous paths have been scythed to lead to these key features, and the bramble and bracken are waning. The off-grid lifestyle can create a work sink, a never-ending list of jobs and projects, but we have learnt that leisure is vital in sustaining this existence. And in this instance, I enjoy a few minutes of perspective, followed by a whoosh as the body becomes light, lifts away from the ground and into the air." And Hannah has a photograph of a bunch of her lovely flowers, lovely orange and red marigolds, a bunch of lavender and pink roses, and a photograph of pink foxgloves in amongst the green foliage. Our centre spread this month is written by David Davies, and David says, "Send me a postcard. Summer brings thoughts of holidays past and present, and although the holiday ritual of sending postcards may be dwindling, I still love to receive one. Postcards I have kept, particularly those sent by my grandmother in the 1970s, say so much about the people, places and feelings that were important to her and so, over time, have become important to me. Postcards are wonderful conversation starters, and I often use my collection of old cards found at seaside bric-a-brac shops with creative group work. I notice the stamp and postmark first, and then the postcard image itself, a photograph that usually shows how we hope a picturesque view or relaxing resort should look. I imagine where the postcard might have been bought, the postcard stand, the shop, the shopkeeper. Even the smell and how dog-eared it all is add to the memories and stories and make these physical and tangible again. But it is the familiar layout of a postcard, the space to give news with few words squeezed into short lines, the equal space opposite for address and stamp, and the greetings and sign-offs that capture the human story, and that someone has taken the trouble to catch the posts, that the postcard has travelled between places, handled by different people, possibly by train or airplane, as it is delivered, received and read. Often a postcard received will be passed around and read several times within a household before being propped on a mantelpiece or pinned on a notice board, and perhaps kept as a memento. Frequently, the words on postcards seem like small poems in a way they capture moments and feelings. I really like this postcard sent in July 1964, concerned about life back at home alongside the era of milk deliveries. I have a feeling I may have confused you about the milk. I have asked the milkman, Peter, to deliver 2 pints on Saturday. Keep it in your fridge until we return. If you go out before we arrive, please put it back outside." And this one postmarked 5:45 a.m. August 6, 1908, signalling a forthcoming letter.
shows how frequently postcards we use, sometimes for very brief messages. Dear Margaret, I am going to write first thing in the morning. Love from all. And sent from the Scottish borders. This postcard marked June 1970 suggests, perhaps, an idea for health and well-being. How lovely it was to get your letter on arrival. Dad says you must bring Michael to the mountains soon. Often postcards show those at home, family, friends, even pets, that they are not forgotten. I really like this holiday postcard to work colleagues, how everyone back at the office is included. Messrs. Freeman, Ross and Painter, June 1938, Friday. Hello, everybody. Hope Nora had a good holiday and that Kathleen has got all the statements out. Trust Beatrice is not snowed under and that Mary had a handkerchief day when saying goodbye. Hope Gordon and Miss Hurst are now settled down to hard work. Yours sincerely, Jeffrey V. And from Newton Abbott, 21st of July, 1999, news about the bookshop cat. Dear Mary, a very importunate cat has been walking back and forth on this bookshop counter grumbling loudly. I can only write this now thanks to the shop lady who has removed him or her. On the 23rd of June 1965, there's news of a holiday gift. It rained all the time we were in the car, but when we had a picnic, the sun was shining. Then on to Burns Cottage, where Gordon bought me the poems and songs of Robert Burns. And I like this final postcard message because of the numbers in it. It also refers to a change in the weather, another British holiday tradition. 2:15 p.m. September the 24th, Scarborough, 1906. Thank you for your postcard. I caught 30 fish the day you wrote, one of which weighed £2. I have now caught about 100 in 4 catches. You have taken the fine sea weather with you. And on the back page, to finish, it's me, Stephanie, with the hum of bees. The hum of bees is the voice of the garden. Sitting in my garden, I can hear their gentle background hum, and amidst the flowers see a constant dance of bees. And Christopher Ryan's poem says, in meadows every afternoon, about the time for tea, the flowers listen to the tune sung by the bumblebee. Bees have been buzzing out there for around 100 million years. There are nearly 20,000 species worldwide, and they are all descended from one ancestral species of vegetarian wasp, which lived when dinosaurs were still stomping the earth and flowering plants were just beginning to appear. Bees have 4 wings. They hook them together to form one big pair when flying and then unhook them when not flying. Not all bees produce honey. Solitary bees, as their name suggests, like to live on their own and don't have a queen or live in hives. Bees live in marshes, shingle, sand dunes, soft cliffs, heathlands, wetlands, chalk grasslands, quarries, gravel pits, sea walls, and even post-industrial land. Leafcutter bees construct their homes from thick-stemmed plants, rotted wood, and leaves. And masonry bees can be found inside naturally occurring holes in bricks and mortar joints. Bumblebees use their smelly footprints to distinguish between their own scent, the scent of a relative, and the scent of a stranger. This means they can improve their success in finding food and avoid flowers that had already been visited. Isaac Watts' poem says, how doth the little busy bee improve each shining hour and gather honey all the day from every opening flower? And I've included a photograph, a close-up of a very fat bee snuggled inside one of the hollyhocks in my garden. And if you have online access, you could have a go at listening to the bees. Just Google on YouTube for Sound of Bees or enjoy Rimsky-Korsakov's Flight of the Bumblebee. Or you could take part in a count of pollinators at the Wiltshire Wildlife Trust or learn more about bees at the Woodland Trust. Try them both online. Enjoy the bees.